All right, welcome, Haven. Let's all stand up, worship the Lord today.
Your praise forevermore, Jesus our God, unstoppable. unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
Shout out your name from the rooftops. I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours. Lift it up. All that I am, I place into your loving hand, and I am yours. That your perfect grace has brought me to this place. Because of you, I freely live my life to you, oh God, I give. So I stand before you, God. I lift my voice, 'cause you set me free. So I'll shout out your that I am yours, I am.
Thank you just for your presence. Yeah, let's give the Lord a praise. Let's praise him. God, we just thank you for that, for who you are in our lives and for bringing us all here today just to connect to you and to recognize that everything else in life comes and goes, but you remain the same. And so, God, I just ask that your presence be more powerful than ever before right here for all of us here, for those who are part of church online, and that the words that we say and the songs that we sing may just move mightily and may move your spirit mightily in our community and our larger world. For all these and other things, God, we give you praise. In Christ's name, amen. Greet somebody. Say hi to somebody. Good morning. All right. We're going to send some of this one thing around before we greet everybody else. And this is first of all, thank you for everyone who last week signed up to help with the Sunday school for the summer to give our teachers a little bit of break and some others. There's a couple things here. There's a couple pages. We have a lot of people who are signed up, but we still need some help for the summer. And look for the yellow empty blocks. And we also are going to need a pre-K and middle school teacher to help with that rotation during the fall. So every other week, or we can work in that. We have number then every couple weeks. So that would be good. So we're just going to start that. I'm going to start that in the middle here and make sure that gets around. If it gets to the back, go ahead and send it over the aisle. Okay, welcome. It's Memorial Day weekend. Isn't that crazy? We have no spring anymore, have you noticed? We go from winter to hurricane monsoon season to here we are. All right, so, and it got hot. But it's good, good to have great weather. And fortunately, it was on this weekend when I know some people take time with family and friends and loved ones, so we can have that. If you're visiting with us today, welcome. We're just thrilled that you're here. We don't believe that you're here by mistake. Again, people have been here for a while, have heard this a billion times, but we believe God brought you here, and really, He has something planned awesome for you. And more than just my shirt, that when I make it wave, I'll belly dance, okay? So, but we're just glad that you're here. If you are visiting and you want to go ahead and you received a card coming in, if you didn't receive a card, just kind of lift your hand up. Somebody will get that to you. But if you received a card, fill that out. You can drop that in the plate, or if you want to, you can take it to the back, and we have a small gift for you. Just thank you for being part of the service today. If you're joining us for the first time, Church Online, we welcome you, and we're glad that you're also joining us, and we hope that you will stay with us and connect to us and let us know that you're watching online. So we're glad to have you here. A couple different things. We're looking for some other people who would be willing to help with our host team. You were greeted by probably somebody in an orange vest when you pulled in the parking lot. There he is. He's now got stole Gary's shirt in the back today, but he greeted by several people in here. That's just a great gift that people have, and we'd love to increase that. If you're just willing to be friendly and help with that, you can connect with those things. We talked about Sunday school. Dining for Women event will be June 7th. You can read the information there. And baptism service, we do an old-fashioned Dunkin' down at the town park, right there by the ramp, little ramp that they have there. And if you'd like to sign up for that, we do have sign-ups. Are they in the Bell Cafe? Is that right? Over here in the Bell Cafe. Or if you want to sign up, you can do so online, and hopefully you'll be able to make it here. And then we'd love to have you participate in that, and that will be on the 26th, right after church. So when we finish church, we will go ahead and begin doing the baptism, if you want to know the technical term, by immersion. Or Duncan, whatever works. Vacation Bible School. Our Vacation Bible School will be the 20th through the 24th, and you can see the information about that from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And so if you want to participate in that or connect to that in a way, please go ahead and connect Melissa. There are some things that are for VBS donations. You can see the bulletin insert for those. And the theme this year, is Joseph's Journey Through Egypt from Prison to the Palace. So if you want to check on that, you can also go ahead. Several different outreach opportunities that we have. Baby bottle drive. The baby bottles went out several weeks ago, I believe on Mother's Day. And so you can fill those out with change, money, checks, whatever, and they will go to help support the pregnancy center. Yes?
Up to today, I have $361. Last year, we had over $700. My goal this year was $1,000. I got several bottles today, so everybody try to bring them.
Okay, so hopefully you'll try to go ahead and get those in so that we can go ahead and meet those needs there for the baby bottle drive, which helps a lot of people. Also, the Parish Foundation, we have three more weeks. It is on Father's Day, and so there are several blanks that we need to fill in from help, probably because it is being Father's Day. We've always had people connect there, but it's a great opportunity to connect in service ministry as part of our church to help with the Parish Foundation on Father's Day. And I guarantee you, if you go and serve and connect to that, you will be more blessed than even they are. And it's an amazing thing to be part of. So you can see that date right there on Father's Day, June 19th. We also have in the bulletin donations for the Parish Foundation if you'd like to connect there as well. All right? Also, we have one prayer request today. So we want to lift that up in prayers. Again, you can fill out the prayer request in the back by the scones, by next to the guy we call Ray. Right, Ray? There we go. Or you can also do that online. Even if you're sitting here in church and you're like, oh, I don't want to get up and go ahead and fill that out, you can go ahead, jump on our Facebook, our regular page, havencc.org, and go ahead and do that and click on the prayer request, and that'll go right to our prayer coordinator, and that will go out. If you'd also like to be part of the prayer chain that comes, remember prayer chains when you used to have to call people? Forget that calling stuff. We can do that too, I guess, but mostly we do it through email, which people have. So if you want to go ahead and get on that list, you can also find out how to do that. Well, the one prayer that we're going to lift up today is Amaya McCoy and healing from brain surgery, and she's 2 years old. So we want to lift her up in prayers, and that's from Robin Hildebrand. I also want to take time to go ahead and ask for prayers for all those who are who have finished up college or finishing up college, those who are finishing up this semester, and those who are finishing up for good. Many of them will begin to pay loans, and so we want to pray for them. Others like me are having graduates from high school, and they're beginning to increase your loans. So pray for us. It's just a great time. It's a time of transition for many, many people, and so we want to lift them up in your prayers as we're here today. Okay? All right, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer first. Right after prayer, we're going to go ahead and show a video to honor Memorial Day because we want to make sure that we honor Memorial Day. We're so appreciative of our veterans, but there is a specific thing for veterans. Today, this weekend, is to honor those who paid the ultimate cost by giving up their life. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to go ahead and show this video for Memorial Day, and then our worship team will lead us in a song, and we'll go ahead and take offering. All right? Lord God, we come to you now. And we thank you for who you are once again and just what you mean to us and so many others. For those who are joining here today and those who are joining us with church online, I give you thanks. And God, I realize that each one of us has a need, a desire, something that in our lives just needs Jesus. And so God, I ask that you minister each person individually. And right now, as we have so many people traveling during this week, give your hedge of protection over them. As they travel, we want to lift up this young girl, Amaya McCoy, for healing from brain surgery. So young, and God, I pray that you will continue to form her and shape her in your life and in her life and to make her stronger and stronger and stronger. For so many of us else that are here, God, we are so thankful for everything that you've done for us. We are thankful for the many gifts that you've given us. So now, whether we're here or part of church online, we're going to take time to go ahead and give back to you for the many blessings that you've given us that can make some of our service ministries happen and make our outreach opportunities happen here. Not for Haven Church, but all in the name of Jesus Christ. To let people know that they are loved by a God who gave his life up for them and who loves them so much. And so, God, we just ask that. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be upon these gifts. That as we collect them, may people know they don't just stay here, but we use them to further your ministry here and around the world. So God, I would be remiss if we didn't take time right now to go ahead and remember those who gave the ultimate price in defense of our country, that we can go ahead and worship freely and recognize your name and to be able to come here and worship together wherever we want or even to choose whether we don't want to worship. So many people gave their lives for that, no matter whether it was World War I, II, Korean, Vietnam, one of the Desert Storm, Shield, whatever they may be, and all those in between, God. We know that you have told us in your scripture and you gave in yourself, greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for our friends. And so, God, as we move to this video right now, may we remember the ultimate price that those paid. In your name we pray. Amen.
I lived in a community where there was about 30 boys that went into the service. My brother Bill, he wanted to go in so bad. He was in the Air Force, along with my other two brothers. They were in the Air Force also. They were all three pilots. He went over to the South Pacific. On the mission that he went on, he got shot down on Christmas Eve. We got the message that Bill was killed. It's a beautiful thing to know, even though in the midst of sadness and despair, that your loved ones perished so that we might have the freedoms we have. I would like to express my thanks to all the people, all the men and women that have served our country and have perished so that we might have the freedoms that we have today.
All right, please stand. If you all feel led to, you can take out your smartphone and hold it up as a beacon of light as we remember those who gave us this church, really. I mean, if it wasn't for all the sacrifice, we wouldn't be here right now worshiping God in a free country.
Today's readings come from Ephesians and Acts. And the reading from Ephesians, I think, calls for us to stand for Christ. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And from Acts 4:13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus.
Right, that's it for our unstoppable guy in the cart, right? This is the last Sunday of our unstoppable series. Hope you've enjoyed it. It was cold and rainy before we started and during when we started. And now it's nice and sunny. So good to see everyone here. I'll talk to you about another series that we're going to have going afterwards. It's going to be a couple weeks with maybe a little break in there for Father's Day. But our next series is going to be really good, too. I know Melinda has a slide there. I'm going to go ahead and put it up now while everybody's attentive. Our next series is going to be one that fits everybody in here. It's going to be called Be Awkward. Okay, so you got it up there, that slide, Melinda, at the very end? You didn't have it at the very end of service? But Be Awkward. We're going to go ahead and get to Be Awkward. So anybody want to feel awkward at times? Okay, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and have an opportunity to be a little bit awkward over the next couple weeks. So I hope you'll join us for that. Even if you're traveling, go ahead and take us with you. If you got a smartphone, you can go ahead and check on the app as well. But so it's going to be kind of fun. So we'll have a good time there. All right. Today we are going to finish up our Unstoppable series, and today we're going to end with Unstoppable Idiots. Okay, so we're going to talk about this. Now, I want to let you know, ministry this year, and in a couple weeks, I will have actually finished, and I've mentioned this several times, 20 years of ordained ministry, 20 years. So it's a lot. And so I'm always looking, you're always looking for people that, like, in life to fill in pastoral roles, preaching, or maybe even those who feel called by God to be pastors. And so I'm curious, how many feel called by God to do ministry? Anybody feel called by God to do ministry? Just want to raise your hand? Okay. There we go. If you do, what I want you to do right now, I'm going to put up a slide, and one of the things about ministry is I want you to go ahead and be able to know what our mission statement is for this church. Now, anybody who's joined the church as a member has gone through this, but I want to go ahead and show you some of this. So number one, let's look at this. Haven exists to, we're going to put it up here. You have it, Melinda? I hope you have it. So, next slide. Should be the next slide. All right. So, okay. Sorry. You might want to check. We have an updated version. So, all right. Here's what it is. I'm going to go through it here. Haven exists to enable people to know God and membership in his family, to grow to be like Jesus in maturity, to equip them to serve in the church and their life mission, and to share Jesus in the larger world. There we go. See? There you go. So I want you guys to say this with me. Ready? Why does Haven Church exist? Haven exists to enable people to what? Know God and membership in his family, grow to be like Jesus in maturity, equip them to serve in the church and in their life mission, and to share Jesus in the larger world. So the main thing, Haven exists for people to know, grow, serve, and share. Got that? So what does Haven exist for? Now, ultimately, what I want to tell you is you have your life's mission that's here. And the life's mission is this, as part of church, is to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. And you have that in your bulletin, to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. And so in doing so, as was just read to us, a really cool verse by Wesley, and we finished with this verse a little bit last week, didn't we? So it's kind of like we just took like a little break and kind of like same bat time, same bat channel for those of you who are old like me. It was God who gave some to be apostles, this is from Ephesians, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to do what? To prepare God's people for what? Works of ministry or for works of service. So as we mentioned last week, God's people would include who? You, yeah, very good. And Jack, as the pastor and teacher, my role would be to prepare you for what? Works of ministry and service. There we go. So say works of ministry and service. There we go. So if the church is functioning as it should be, the five different roles of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers would prepare God's people, and that includes you, for works of ministry and service. So that's what we're going to look at today. So now, as we look at this, if you are a believer or follower of Christ, then you have a call to ministry and service and to be a minister. You may say, now, Jack, if I'm called to be a minister, does that mean I'm going to have to leave my job and go and live in someplace in outer Swabovia and, you know, eat rats or I don't know whatever you do over there? I hope not. Okay, for some people they do, but I hope not, because truthfully what I believe is many of you have a greater opportunity to reach people than even I do at times, than particularly if you join the church staff. Because one of the things church staffs do is they stay with church staff, right? And they already know each other. It's like the healthy telling the healthy where to get healthy. You know what I mean? It's like the people who work out in the gym saying, hey, where can I work out? You know, you see what I mean? And so, but a lot of times you have a greater outreach because you spend time with more people who may, by nature, who need to hear about Christ. And so you as a believer, you are a minister to others. So I want to ask this question again. How many of you feel a call to ministry? How many feel a call to ministry? Get it? The verse? Prepare God's people for works of what? Ministry and service. How many of you feel called to ministry? There you go. That's a lot better. Still pretty lame. Some of you refuse. I could say, are you a guy? And you're a guy. And you'd be like, no, I'm not raising my hand. And we have that. But some of you say, well, wait a second, Jack. Hang on here. I don't know much about the scripture. I don't know that. I don't feel like I'm good enough. And I get nervous praying with people. So how can I make the difference? And honestly, that Be Awkward series is some of the stuff we're going to talk about in that. Well, let me say this. First, I want to say this to everybody, to the people that are extra special. The ones who are confident and very talented. These are the ones who graduated at the top of your class, you were voted most likely to succeed. You may have been the most incredibly gorgeous person that walked the face of the earth. You were the best athlete and you were the most talented. I've got really good news for you. God can still use you. All right? God can still use you. Even if everything's awesome and perfect, God can still use you. And he can. He just prefers to use ordinary people, okay? But God can specialize in everyday, strange. He uses strange people. Have you read the scripture? He uses strange, weird, ordinary people. Exhibit A, right here, okay? And God is calling you to minister in the name of Jesus Christ. And for instance, one of the things that I've really been wrestling around with a lot is about the church in church universal in general. And I've been wrestling around with church membership versus church movership. Okay? You like that, Wesley? Isn't that good? Okay. So instead of joining and putting your name on a membership roll list like you would at a country club or a group or a party, I would rather you embrace being part. It's fine if you want to do that. We do membership classes. But I would rather you look at yourself as a partner in ministry and mission, and that you become part of a movement for God that we are doing here, than becoming a member of a community club. Everybody with me there? And I think far too often, you know, what we find out is if everybody showed up who's on church membership roles,
we would not have enough room for them in the building. Anybody ever seen this? When I went to Lewis, Delaware, on the membership rolls, there was 1,100 people. To let you know, I never had 1,100 people in church, ever, ever. And they were alive, most of them, I believe, okay? So you had to check the pulse of the person next to you occasionally just to make sure. But again, you may say, but I don't have much to offer. I got to tell you, you are incredibly deceived if you believe that. Because if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the living Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God living within you. That same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives within you also, so that you can fulfill the promise that Christ called and said that you will do these things and even greater in my name. That's awesome. That's incredible. Does that excite anybody? Ray, you excited by that? There we go. All right, good. All right, so I've heard this many times in my life, and I want to share it with you. God does not call the prepared. He prepares the called. Let me say that again. God does not call the prepared, but he prepares the called. How many of you have ever asked somebody to help you with something who knows too much? Or they think they know too much? Anybody? Where you're doing something, and you just want to ask them to help you move. And then they start analyzing the demographics of the proper way to move. If you handed the box from this and used your legs at a right angle and squat, anybody with me here? You know these people. And you're like, why did I ever ask you? You can't work with people who know it all already. Correct? Anybody ever worked with anybody who knows it all? There you go. Is that a pleasant experience? No. And so God doesn't want people who know it all. Throughout the scripture, we've had two groups doing disciple Bible study, and we're winding down to the end, and we've gone through the entire Bible. And one of the consistencies is God likes weird, broken, unprepared, ordinary people. Am I right, disciple? And so that is very comforting to me to know that that's who God wants to use. You are called by God, and he will prepare you for the journey. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at a couple different portions of Scripture, and each is going to talk about a very ordinary guy named, his first name was Simon, and Jesus changed it to Peter. This guy messed up all the time, but God did some extraordinary things in him through his life. One time, Peter and John were preaching, and they got arrested, and some others were there, and they got arrested by some religious folks. And they were just trying, the religious folks were trying to figure something out about them. They were like, how could God do these miraculous things through these normal, weirdo Galileans? And it just messed with them. And so now we're going to look at Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, here's what it says, and this is also in your bulletin if you want to look there. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled and ordinary men, and they were astonished. In other words, they see him doing this really wacky stuff. At this point, we talked about it the other week, where they healed the guy who was lame, the crippled man. They reached out and they healed him, and he went walking and leaping, and they're wondering, how in the world did they do that? And they couldn't figure it out, but the one thing they knew is that they were with Jesus, and that changed something. Now, I wanted you to look at this verse. You see where it says that they were unschooled and ordinary men? The term in Greek is actually a word I'm going to put up here called idiote. Can anybody say that with me? Idiote. Look at the person next to you and say, idiote. Idiote. And if somebody's not around you, look at me and go, idiote. All right? Idiote. The Greek word is, where do you think we get word from? Idiot. It means someone who is an ignoramus. Look at the person next to you and call them an ignorant. No, don't do that. It seems like they're ignorant. They're unlearned. They don't know. They're literally an idiot. And so they looked at them, and here's what the scripture says. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were idiots, they were astonished. Isn't that awesome? These God uses idiots. Hallelujah. How many does that make you feel better? All right. They were astonished that these idiots were doing something amazing. Now here's the beauty in all this. I want to share with you, I find joy that I am surrounded by a bunch of idiots. I find joy that those who are on the Haven leadership team are idiots. I find joy that our worship team are idiots. That our Sunday school, idiots. I find it very amazing that every week we fill up chairs of what? There you go. And so my wife right now would probably say, Jack, that makes you the chief of all idiots. And probably it's true. But what I want to say is that this is basically what Jesus was saying. I am here to bring you life and bring it more abundantly. And I'm going to find 12 untrained, ignoramus, idiot people, and to show you how awesome their lives can be when they have nothing of substance in this world, but when I pour my spirit in them, how they can do awesome things because they're idiots and they love it. He wanted ordinary people. He wanted uneducated fishermen. He wanted tax collectors who were despised. He hung out with prostitutes. He hung out with people who were accused of being drunk. He hung out with people who had questionable behavior. And he called that his inner circle. He had an inner circle. The 12 idiots were who he had. He didn't have in his group a religious scholar. He didn't have one learned Pharisee who could interpret the Old Testament scriptures in a way that they could expound and exegete it and know 8 languages. He didn't have somebody who had all the garb or somebody who was a descendant from Moses and Aaron that could wear the priestly garb. He wanted who? Idiots. And who does God want today? Idiots. There you go. He called ordinary, idiotic people to do something amazing. And you know what? Today, our system is completely messed up. Because if you look at churches today, when they look for pastors, I've seen it before. They have things like church jobs online, and then you have, like, sometimes you get a religious magazine in the back. They will have a little blurb about what they want as a pastor. And every time I look at it, for their ministers, what they want, they want a senior pastor, and they say, our church is looking for someone who has had blah, 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 and then they list qualifications, and you're going to see this almost every single time. I'm going to look for a senior pastor that's been in ministry 10 years, is married, has a seminary degree, been in ministry 10 years, and has had experience, and yada, 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 and you have all these kinds of things. And that may be good in how we look at things in our world. But when we look at those qualifications, I want to share with you something. Jesus himself could not be a pastor of many of the churches in the United States. The Apostle Paul would be kicked out because he made problems for people and he served in prison. The people who we base our structure off of, the Lord that we serve, would be turned down if we had a resume for him. They say, who's this Jesus guy? Get rid of him. He's Hispanic. Right? Wouldn't we? Jesus himself, we wouldn't hire as our senior pastor. You see, in our world, in humanities, we look for people that fit into the world system. But God looks for who? Idiots. Not just ordinary idiots, because ordinary idiots can be dangerous. But those who know who Jesus is, who believe in him, and are willing to follow him no matter what it costs, personally. And so what I'm going to do today is I'm calling on a bunch of idiots for Jesus who are willing to grow together to see who he is, who he wants each one of us to be, and I'm willing to settle for anything below that. So as we're going to go through this, I want to share with you a couple things as we're looking about what it takes to be an idiot for Jesus. And the first thing on our sheet. Oh, you know what? Before we get to that, Melinda, do you have a list of pictures up there, hopefully? All right, I want to share with you some idiots in the world. Remember I said there's some basic idiots? Let me show you some of those basic idiots. And these are from some pictures. Number one, this was a post on here. I lost my 710 for my car. Can anybody know where I find a new one? Flip it over. Oil, okay. Next one. Can you put the oxygen up there? Below, you can see what it says right here. It says, what? They spelled what wrong. What is this? I do not know. Are you saying I'm an orange branch? Get it? Fantastic. Get it? Sorry, took a little while. All right, maybe you wrote that. Okay, here we go. The next one. I love this question here. Don't ask this person for directions. Where is the 2014 Brazil World Cup to be held? All right. The next idiot here. Don't do this, anyone. I found my social security card. How can y'all steal my identity? Y'all don't look like me. It won't work. All right. Dumb, 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 dumb. All right, next one. I love this one. They told me I could weigh myself on my iPad. Worst app I've ever had. Okay. I think they needed to go on a diet, too. You agree? All right. And this one, I think, is the greatest. Dumb American criminals attempt to robbery by taking permanent markers to their disguise. Okay. The world is full of who? We don't want those idiots. We want idiots for Christ, correct? All right, so let's continue on here. All right, I just wanted to share with you some of those funny things. I love those guys at the end. Crazy. All right. So what do we do? To be an idiot for Christ, number one, you need to, idiots who have been with Jesus, because that's where they recognize they were, want to give their whole lives to him. So the first thing is give your whole life to God. Give your whole life to God. Not just a little bit, not just an hour, not just a weekend, but your whole life. In fact, Peter is the guy that we're talking about as this Jesus idiot. And he was definitely an idiot. He was a fisherman, and he was a bad fisherman. Every time in the scripture, they must have starved, but because every time in scripture he goes fishing, he catches nothing. And so they're sitting there one day, and all of a sudden, here comes this carpenter rabbi, and they fished all night, caught nothing. And Jesus says, throw the net on the other side. And they say, got nothing to lose. Guy, a stranger on the shore says, throw it over the side. And they threw it over the other side, and their net was so full that they brought it in. Look at what it says in Luke 5, 8. When Simon saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, for I am a sinful man. And one of the things is that when we recognize how holy God is in the moment, we see how sinful we are. In other words, he said, I'm bad. There's nothing good in me. And many of us are still struggling with that when I'm hearing this, that God's called me to a ministry. But Jesus says, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch what? Men. Now, for you single ladies out there, that's a great verse to hold on to. You will catch men. All right? But seriously, one of the things that he says, you might be bad at this. You may be even a good fisherman, but right now I'm messing with you. But don't worry about this right now. From now on, you're going to make a difference. I realize you're an idiot, Simon, at this time. I realize you got it. But if you'll just listen to me, I will have you catch men. I will have you make a difference for the kingdom of God. And don't miss this in verse 11. Verse 11 says, so they pulled up their boats on shore, and what did they do? What was it? Then they left everything. They left their boats, they left their careers, they left their nets, they left their dreams. If they had families, they left them, they left everything. Notice what they did not do, though. They didn't do what we often do in the church, where we take time and say, let's say a little prayer. Dear Jesus, Son of God, I believe I am a sinner. Please save me and get me out of hell and get me into heaven. Amen. Okay, now that I've done that, I get to do what I darn well please. Correct? They left everything and followed him. For instance, how many like poker? Go ahead, you can say it. We're in church. We'll let you go. It's not bad. How many ever watch poker on TV? You enjoy watching that? And what you see is a great illustration sometimes of how I think we do our Christian walk with the Lord. They all have poker chips, correct? Big stacks of poker chips. Hopefully you have the bigger stack if you depending on that. And then as they go around the table, what do? Throw a couple chips in here, right? Throw a couple chips in here. And sometimes that's how we are in our Christian faith. Life's going well. We got a good hand of cards in our hand. Life's going pretty well. We're looking good here. So we throw a couple more chips in. We're like, okay, God, thanks. Hey, yeah, we're with you. Yeah, I'll serve. I'll go to Parish Foundation on Father's Day. Yeah, no problem. You know, I'll help this girl. Oh, yeah, God. And then we start to do that. And then the next hand's dealt, and life starts to get a little difficult. We go, I'm going to make sure I have everything here. But then, don't you love, isn't there an excitement when you're watching poker when they do what? Go all in. Don't you love when they take the big stacks, and even those movies, like everybody always goes all in. Everybody's like, oh, that's not a good poker play. But when they go all in, you go, oh, you get on, and people stand up, and they look around the table, and they're waiting for that card to turn. You know, when you go all in, sometimes it makes no sense to go all in. But when you go all in, that's what the disciples did. They're saying, I'm gambling everything on you, Jesus. And you see, it doesn't matter what my cards are. I'm just going all in. I don't know what that turn of the card's going to be. I'm going all in. As a church family, some of us, we can feel it. We're just anteing up and surviving in our Christian faith by an ante here, an ante there, and a couple chips there, rather than going all in. We need to learn to not just go to church, but we need to learn that we are the church. We are His church. And if you're willing to be a big enough idiot just to believe He is who He says He is, and He wants to do what He says He wants to do in you, then go all in. Idiots give their whole life to Him. Number two. Everybody good? All right. Number two. Idiots who have been with Jesus become two things, unwavering and unstoppable. Unwavering and unstoppable. You know I was going to get that in today as we look at the verse that's in your bulletin today from Acts chapter 5. It says the apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin and questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in the name. He said, yet you filled Jerusalem with your teaching and determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. And Peter and the other apostles said, okay, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, right? What do they do? We must obey God rather than who? Human beings. In other words, what Peter and John are now saying at this moment, they're saying, I'm going all in. I'm unwavering. I don't care what it's going to cost me. I don't care what's going to happen. I'm trusting in Jesus, who He says He is. I'm going all in. You could criticize them. You could try to stop them, and it wouldn't happen. You could threaten to kill them. You couldn't kill them. And they cause all kinds of havoc all over the place. When we have a bunch of idiots who know Jesus Christ that partner together and surrender their lives to the cause of Christ under the inspiration of the Spirit, you'll be unwavering, but you will also be unstoppable. And so as they're going through this thing and they're arrested again later on in this chapter, they're like, what are we going to do with these guys? We beat them, we send them out, they come back, they keep doing this. It's causing a whole bunch of problems for us. Should we lock them up? Should we kill them? Should we throw away the key? And in Acts chapter 5, verse 38 through 39, therefore, this guy named Gamaliel came on the scene. He was a really learned person. He said, here's what his advice was. He said, therefore, in this present case, here's my advice to you. Leave these men alone. For if this purpose is of human origin, then it will what? Fail. I got to tell you, if this or any other church is based on human origin or desire, it will and should fail. I'm just going to tell you that. It will and should fail. But, listen to what he says. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. In other words, they're going to become what? Unstoppable. You will only find yourselves fighting on God. When we focus on this, and when enough idiots come together and say, we believe you, Jesus, no matter what it costs us, we're going to serve you. You can't stop people like that. Still today, as we worship and recognize the people that paid the ultimate cost for us to be able to worship free, we recognize in many areas of the world that there are people that are tortured and still die for their faith. People who today are meeting in secret and can be killed. In China, it's illegal to share Christian faith. But one of the coolest things, people brought a ministry that when some people from China come here and go to our universities and college, they have a ministry that goes out to them that teaches them so that these very intelligent, amazing people in China go ahead and share the faith of Jesus Christ in their culture because it becomes part of them. Even though these people could be killed for their faith. We, as we have the ability to show up to church or not show up to church, to pull it up online or not pull it up online, to go to Paris Foundation, not go to Paris Foundation, to serve at Haven House or not serve at Haven House, to read our Bibles or not read our Bibles, we have brothers and sisters in Christ who are complete idiots for Christ that are willing to pay the ultimate cost for their life and do so to this day. Martyrdom is not geared for just the New Testament. It still is sadly alive today in much of our world. When people are like that, you can threaten them and it makes them more determined. You can persecute them and it cleanses them and makes them more righteous. You can kill them and it inspires the rest to continue. You can't stop them. They're unstoppable. And God wants to do something supernatural in idiots. If you're an idiot enough, you can agree on these things that we will do anything short of sin to reach those for Christ Jesus. Number two, we can agree that you can do more with what we've got. We don't need more. We can do with what God's given us and start. To whom much is given, much is required. To whom much is given, much more is demanded. God's not going to give you more if you haven't done anything with what he's given you in the first place. We can do more together than alone. And I got to tell you, this is not just because us as a church, but one of the things I mentioned to a group of religious people that met, and I mentioned this the other week, who met together to talk about the drug issue in here, I said, you got to get your franchise tag off of everything and start working together as the body of Christ. Every single one of us do. It's not about our local church. It's not about building my kingdom or your kingdom. We've got to start to say it's about him. And if it's about him, then maybe we can make an impact through the power of the Holy Spirit. But as long as we're disjointed and want to put our franchise fee and say, look what we're doing, look what we're doing, look at me, look at me, look at me, then we're never going to be able to tap into the system. And we've got to get dirty in order to deal with it. And we've got to stop worrying about, and guess what? We may have some of those people that are coming to our churches then. Wouldn't that be awesome? Tell me that wouldn't shake the foundations of some churches. This week, we had a young girl who contacted us. It was just they're in a bad situation. And we were trying everything we could do to help. And we were at help, some temporarily, trying to get more help full time. But some of the places that we can send a family to are full. And in the midst of that, I felt this like pain of not being. And I'll tell you, when she first called, I'm immediately saying, what's her problem? Right? You get this kind of callous nature. Believe me, after 20 years of hearing it, I've heard everything. All right? Now I'm in trouble. I'm going to hear something different I haven't heard. But you hear a lot. And in the midst of this, there's something about this girl that just touched me. And never met her. But I could hear just the helplessness in her life. The hopelessness in her life. And yet she's trying to keep it together and had a young child and a fiance. And yet the place that we can send somebody to is full. So what do we do? I'll tell you. We put her up for a night so that their family could go ahead and figure out what they were going to do and if they could get to some other organizations by the day. And I told her I felt bad because I was just putting a Band-Aid on something for a night and I wanted to see her get well for the future. And she said, why feel bad? You're the only church that is called back with anything positive. Wow. Have you ridden around this county? The number of churches that exist in this county? And to let you know, we ain't got millions pulling out of the bank. But what we had, I'm willing to use. I'm willing to connect with any church that's willing to go ahead and make a difference and an impact for Christ. And how do we make an impact? Love others as you love yourself. Isn't that what he told us? I don't care what the issues are. They are a creature created by Jesus Christ and have value to him. And therefore, they should have value to me. Am I wrong here? All right. You know who does that? You know who wants and a desire to do that? Idiots. And I believe our churches that have been together, there's nothing wrong with the stuff that we do, no matter what. But we got to become a lot more idiotic for Christ if we're going to make an impact. The disciples made an impact that changed the world. Why? Because they were just crazy enough to work together. We agree that we will make a difference. We're not just in the game to play it. We're not playing the game. We're not going to churchianity. I've had enough churchianity over my life to last me a lifetime, and it makes me sick. That's why I believe, I honestly believe this is what happened in the book of Revelations where he says, you're not cold, you're not hot. I'm about ready to spit you out of my mouth because I'm about ready to vomit what you're doing. And I think the churchianity that we have embraced in our world today makes God want to vomit. I don't have that on the paper, okay? We got to stop being one way on Sunday. I'm not saying be perfect. I'm just saying be idiotic. Look at some opportunity through the rest of the week for Christ to use you. We're going to have to make a difference. If we're going to make a difference as a church and as a community, we're going to have to realize that the church does not exist for us, but that we are the church and we exist for the world, and that we need to give generously in the community, that we're going to be loving and we're going to be full of grace to each other and the community and the world around us. If you are a big enough idiot to believe that God will use you to reach people, then I promise you he will. I want you to go out here and say today, I want to be an idiot. Anybody say that with me? Say, I want to be an idiot. Make me an idiot. Make me an idiot, God, because I want to believe that you're going to use me to reach people, and he will. He will use you because you are called to what? Ministry. Irwin McManus, who has a great church out in California, asked this question one time. And he said, and I want you to play along with me. He asked, what are different groups of animals called? All right? You ever do this with your kids? All right, so here we go. A group of cows is called a herd. Very good. There we go. A group of lions, a pride. A group of crows, who said that? Good job. Good job. A murder. That's why that movie, The Birds, I don't know, it freaks me out still to this day. All right, she's running the boat. Okay, anyway, sorry. A group of buzzards. Anybody know what a group of buzzards is called? This could not be more perfect. A committee. Isn't that awesome? So if anybody serves on the committee, yeah, there's a bunch of people going around a carcass, aren't they? Right. That's why we got to get rid of church committees, right? We're a bunch of, you know what I mean? Ready to pick off some flesh of somebody, all right? I love it. Isn't that awesome? All right. A group of flamingos. Huh? A flamboyance. Ooh. We like that one. Hey, all right. What are a group of rhinos called? Yeah, big, fat, look out, okay. All right, what are a group of rhinos? You know, before I tell you, did you know rhinos can run up to 30 miles an hour? But here's a problem. They can only see 30 feet ahead of them. Oops, all right. So I think it's awesome what they're called. They're called a crash. A crash of rhinos. Because you know what? You get a bunch of rhinos moving at 30 miles an hour and they only see 30 feet in front of them. Something's going to crash. And I'm going to tell you, if you're in the way, nice knowing you, all right? Look out. So I started today by calling you idiots, right? I'm going to change that. I'm going to call you idiot rhinos. Because what I believe, you say, Jack, because I believe if we're headed in a direction and we're moving at 30 miles an hour, but we can't see, we don't have time to look around us. And you may say, Jack, what's the future hold? And I'm going to tell you, I have no clue. I have no clue. But if we see ourselves as idiot rhinos that are partnering together and we run 30 miles an hour, it doesn't matter if we can only see 30 feet in front of us, because when we get there, something's going to crash. And if we are that way for Jesus Christ in our world, look out, world. I want to see us crash into the drug issue. I want to see us crash into the homeless issue. And it's not just people who are drug addicted. It's young single mothers. All right? I want to see us make a difference so that our young people don't have to get into all kinds of crap because they have nothing better to do. I want to see us go ahead and make differences in every ounce of our society and be an unstoppable bunch of rhinoceri. Do you like that? That are idiots who simply believe that Jesus is who he says he is and who loves us. When a bunch of idiots become a church, we become unwavering and unstoppable. In the last week or so in Disciple, and if you guys missed it in Disciple and you didn't do it, you better have it done. Many of us wrote down our stories and shared them with individuals. And one of the consistencies in our stories that was so powerful is if you look, and I look over my life, the number of idiots that have come across my life that have helped me get to a place. Look at your story for Christ and look at all the idiots. Count the idiots is what I'm saying. Count the idiots in your life. A church full of idiots makes a difference in people's lives. And I thank you for all the idiots for Christ that have come along my way. I could name 50 right off the top of my head. And what happens is we become unwavering. When we give our whole life to God, when we become unwavering and unstoppable, then we become that crash, that crashing bunch of idiots for the next generation and the generation here today. Now, here's how I'm going to end today. That's all, folks. That's all I got. So I'm going to ask our worship team to come up, and I'm going to tell you this. If you're serious about this, here's the bottom line. Let's do it. I believe that this is a place, and I desire for this to be a place for idiotic rhinos, that people who are serious about believing in Jesus, and if you're not a believer, keep coming, keep on coming, keep checking in. We want to love you. We do. And I'm inviting you, everybody else here, to partner in ministry. So if I ask that question, how many are in ministry? Everybody's hands should go up. Right? So good. Let's stand up. Give me a second to set up here and get ready. At this time, I'm going to ask if anyone's here. I know Randy's here. He's going to come up and hopefully be able to pray with some people today. And Jennifer, I think you're here too as well.
There we go. They're going to be available to pray with people. And we're going to sing right now the song, Word of God Speak. And I just want you to be available to God speaking to you right now. Wherever you may be, wherever you are in life, just let God speak to you. See, you didn't know I have to go through all this stuff, did you?
Sometimes when we go to prayer and we need to hear from God, we don't. Because often we won't shut up, right? Often we won't shut up. And so I want you to be idiotic enough to, during this time, just to be quiet and let God speak to you. And just go ahead. You can sing, but just let God speak to you in the way he needs to talk to you. All right?
At a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. Last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God speak. Was poured down that grain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need to be with you in the quiet. I hear your voice, word of God speak. Would you pour down my grain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. The word of God speak.
Be awkward. So you got to be idiots. And next week you get to be awkward, right? Isn't that great? So be awkward next week, and we will see you. We'll start that series. Say hello to someone. Don't just leave. Just run out, say hi to someone. Some of you haven't seen, some of you have seen. Say hi. Have a great Memorial Day, and do not forget those who paid the ultimate cost. God bless.